بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله العليم الخبير المتقن نظام العالم بلا معين ونصير. فسبحان الله الذي حكمته بالغة وعلمه غزير ونعمه واصلة إلى كل صغير وكبير. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في نقير ولا قطمير. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله الذي هدانا بكتاب منير ودعانا إلى الله بالإنذار والتبشير، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ما دامت الكواكب تسير. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، مستكبرين به سامرا تهجرون. صدق الله العظيم. Respected scholars, brothers, sisters, we live in a world which is very much dominated by the concern of the well-being of our physical bodies. If you look at one of the industries that are ever thriving is the cosmetic industry. The whole world focuses on the upliftment and the advancement of the external body, and rightfully so. In fact, we've become slaves to our desires to the extent, someone said in the English language, eat your food like medication, or else you will have to eat your medication like food. And today that's not the case. My wife is a very health-conscious person, and she's on this alternative medication, and she, you know, even the kids, you take this here, and natural, and probiotic, and make, you know, all these extra things, to vitamins to boost you, and not the conventional drugs and the side effects and detoxing and the rest of it. But it's a meaningful statement: eat your food like medication. Otherwise, you will eat your medication like food, and that's precisely where the world is. So there's very little or no focus on the soul. And the actual human is the soul, the real human, because the external body is ever changing and evolving. So many of us, if we look at our image and photo when we were kids, then you're like, ah, those days the cameras were not good, man. No, that's you. That's you, right? Like it or not, whether you blame it, it wasn't a good image, wasn't a good camera, wasn't this pixel, we didn't have that, you know, ability, but that is precisely how we look. So we are evolving in our external appearance, and this will continue. The thing that remains with us and will move on and will not change is the soul. And it is the soul today that has become restless. And we are treating the external body to suppress the restlessness and the anxiety of the soul. The Arabic poet said, ذَهَبْتُ إِلَى الطَّبِيبِ أُرِيهِ حَالِي وَهَلْ يَدْرِي الطَّبِيبُ بِمَا جَرَى لِي جَلَسْتُ فَقَالَ مَا شِكْوَاكَ صِفْهَا لِي فَقُلْتُ الْحَالَ أَبْلَغْ مِنْ مَقَالِي أَتَيْتُكَ يَا طَبِيبُ عَلَى يَقِينٍ بِأَنَّكَ لَسْتَ تَمْلِكُ مَا بِبَالِي أَنَا لَا أَشْتَكِي الْحُمَّ احْتِجَاجًا بَلِ الْحُمَّ الَّتِي تَشْكُو احْتِمَالِي فَتَحْتُ إِلَيْكَ حَلْقِي كَيْ تَرَاهُ فَقُلْ لِي هَلْ أَكَلْتُ مِنَ الْحَلَالِ أَتَعْرِفُ يَا طَبِيبُ دَوَاءَ قَلْبِي فَدَاءُ الْقَلْبِ أَعْظَمُ مِنْ هُزَالِي كشفت إليك عن صدري أتسمع فيه للقرآن من تالي تقول بأن ما في التهاب ورشح ما أجبت على سؤالي وضعت على فم المقياس قل لي أسهم حرارة الإيمان عالي سقامي من مقارفة الخطايا وليس من الزكام ولا السعال فإن كنت الطبيب فما علاج لذنب فوق رأسي كالجبال نسائل ما الدواء إذا مرضنا وداء القلب أولى بالسؤال. Is there somebody understanding Arabic here? It's like, oh man. I was about to say, if you understand Arabic, your heart would burst. But those who understood, there was no reaction. Okay, anyway. The focus of my talk is the restlessness, the depression, the anxiety is because we've neglected the soul. So in essence, if I could capture the sentiments and give you a synopsis of the multiple stanzas that I presented before you and just walk you through it briefly and progress into my talk, what I want to, although time is quite limited. So he says, "Dhahabtu ila tabib." I presented myself at a surgeon, and I said to him, "Dhahabtu ila tabib urihi hali," you know, showing him my condition. "Wahal yadri tabib bima jarali?" Jalastu faqala ma shikwa kasif hali. The doctor said to me, "What are your grievances? What are your pain? What is your agony?" So I said, "Al-hal ablagh min maqali." My condition speaks louder than what I could express myself. "Ataytuka ya tabibu ala yaqeenin bi annaka lasta tamliku ma bi bali. Ana la ashtaki al-humma ihtijaja." I haven't come to complain about the regular flu and the regular fever and the body aches. That's not what I'm here. "Bal al-humma allati tashku ihtimali." On the reverse, my fever is astonished at my levels of tolerance. "Fatahtu ilayka halqi kay tarahu faqul li hal akaltu min al-halali." I've opened my mouth not for you to examine my tonsillitis or my laryngitis, but I want you to look deep down and check and examine me. Have you seen anything other than a halal muscle in my body? Have you seen anything else? There's this long narration where Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu idha najaytum ar-rasul faqaddimu bayna yadayna jawakum sadaqa thalika khayrun lakum wa athhar fa'in lam tajidu fa'inna allaha ghafurur rahim." This is the chapter of Mujadala, the chapter of argument, where a woman by the name of Khawla bint Tha'laba radiallahu anha came and she argued respectfully to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she said, "My husband, I married him, I was young, I gave birth to his kids, and when I aged, he divorced me. O Nabi of Allah, you need to create an opening for me. Afna shababi natharatu lahu batni hatta idha kaburat sinni wanqata'a waladi dhahara minni qad sami'a Allahu qawla allati تجادلك في زوجها وتشتكي إلى الله والله يسمع تحاوركما. My word. This is just beyond me. This is the eloquence of Quran. I don't want to go into the details of it. In a nutshell, in the verse I recited, the hypocrites used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would sit close up and claim proximity and nobility and piety. So Allah then restricted their attendance by saying, before coming to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give charity. And they were not those who could spend. So as soon as the Quran said, spend and you must come, then like, okay, you know, brother, you know, there's a good friend of mine. So he sells his chocolates. So he says, I tell the people I'm selling chocolates, and they're like, "Oh, brother, I would have supported you, but I'm diabetic." So then I say to them, "No, it's fine. You don't have to pay. It's on the house." They say, "Okay, it's fine. I'll have one." Like, what happened to your diabetes? So it looks like your pocket is diabetic. So I'm like, "Brother, I'm selling." "Oh, brother, I would have supported you. Wallahi, you know, I'm diabetic, brother. And I got to monitor my sugar and my insulin, and I got to take care of it." "Okay, brother, it's on the house." And he's popping one after the other. And then he says, "I realize, you know what? It's not diabetic. His pocket is diabetic. May Allah make us generous by nature and generous to spend." So when Allah said that you have to attend by giving charity, the munafiq did not come. Sayyidina Ali said, "Hadhihi ayah fi kitabillah, ma amila biha ahadun qabli, wa la ya'mal biha ahadun ba'di." I was the one who practiced upon it first, and nobody after that had the opportunity to practice, because post me practicing upon it, the injunction was abrogated. I don't want to go into the academics. What we say, mansukhul hukam baqiyut tilawa. The verse remains part of the Quran, but the injunction was abrogated. And I had a dinar in my hand, and I made it into charity, and I discharged it. And I came straight to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then I sat and I spoke with him. And once upon a time, the Ummah was aspiring to these goals. I'm the first to practice on the ayah. I'm the first to do this. I'm the first to do that. And today I often say people are so desperate for fame and recognition and to have their names engraved in the books. It's like, I'm the fattest man in the world. And he's got the longest mustache. And he's got the longest nails. And like, people don't mind being infamous to be famous. If you know what I'm saying. People don't mind to be infamous to be famous. just so that, you know what, people know who I am. And that's how people have become desperate for fame, to be recognized, to be acknowledged. And they exhaust different options. May Allah guide us and inspire us. So I came and I sat down with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then I asked him a few questions. And then amongst them, I asked him, "Mada asna'u li najati nafsi?" Oh, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what can I do for the salvation of my soul? He said, "Kul halalan wa kul sidqan." Kul halalan wa kul sidqan. Eat that which is pure and utter that which is true. Wow. That was comprehensive. Fatahtu ilayka halqi. Faqul li hal akaltu min al halali? Ata'rifu ya tabib dawa' qalbi? Fada'u al qalbi a'zamu min huzali. Oh, doctor, medical practitioner, oh, physician, do you have any clue about my spiritual malady? Because that's more concerning than me losing my weight, than me being slim, than me being petite, or by me becoming obese. And I'm not saying you need to be obese, because, you know, I landed in Dubai, and I was hopping onto another flight, and I was tired, and this guy was walking by, and he was like really obese, and he has this t-shirt. I'm not fat, I'm just fluffy. I'm not fat, I'm just fluffy. And I'm like, that's euphemism of a different level. Wow, that's been euphemistic now, you know? That's good, that's just a different thing altogether. كَشَفْتُ إِلَيْكَ حَلْقِي كَشَفْتُ إِلَيْكَ عَنْ صَدْرِي أَتَسْمَعْ فِيهِ لِلْقُرْآنِ مِنْ تَالِي. When you put your stethoscope on my chest, can you hear the beat of Qur'an? Can you hear the beat of Qur'an? وَضَعْتَ الْمِقْيَاسَ عَلَى فَمِي أَسَهْمُ حَرَارَةِ الْإِيمَانِ عَالِي. When you put in the thermometer and you're measuring my heat, can you tell me what's the level of my faith? Can you tell me what's the level of my iman? سقامي من مقارفة الخطايا وليس من الزكام ولا السعال فإن كنت الطبيب فما علاج لذنب فوق رأسي كالجبال. If you're a doctor, tell me what's the way out of my sins. So anyway, I want to focus on three maladies. I haven't started as yet, but let's hope we can get somewhere. Three maladies. We're talking about spiritual maladies, and I promise you this is where we are grappling. And this is what we've neglected. And this is what governs the body. If this internal spiritual maladies are taken care of, everything will be in order. Like I often say to prospective couples, the Quran speaks about three types of beauty. Generally, when a bride and a groom, or a boy and a girl, or prospective couples, they speak about every type of beauty in going into the marriage ahead, but about the beauty which Allah identifies as beauty. So it's a beautiful wife, it's a beautiful man, it's a beautiful house, it's a beautiful income, it's a beautiful community, everything beautiful. But have you spoken about the beauty which Allah spoke about? And what is that? فَاصْبِرْ صَبْرًا جَمِيلًا فَاصْفَحِ الصَّفْحَ الْجَمِيلِ وَهْجُرْهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ وَهْجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. Allah speaks about beautiful patience. Allah speaks about beautiful tolerance. And Allah also speaks about some people in life you need to just move on with and not stagnate and just ignore them beautifully. Just move on. قالوا سكت وقد خصمت قلت لهم إن الجواب لباب الشر مفتاح قالوا قد سكت وقد خصمت قلت لهم إن الجواب لباب الشر مفتاح أما ترى الأسد تخشى وهي صامتة والكلب يخسى لعمري وهو نباح. Someone said to me, سكت, you silent, وقد خصمت, whereas people are arguing with you. قلت لهم إن الجواب لباب الشر مفتاح. I said, I don't want to retort, I don't want to reply, because if I reply, it's a can of worms. I'm just going to make it more ugly, it's going to exacerbate it. أما ترى الأسد تخشى وهي صامتة. Don't you see the lion is sitting silent beneath a tree, and yet it's been feared, and the dogs are barking away. People are hurling stones at it, yet it continues barking. So silence is not a form of weakness, and barking is not a form of strength. Anyway, three spiritual weaknesses that I want to speak on briefly, which the Quran focuses on, and that's what I'm trying to draw my analogy on. Allah speaks about the pagan Arab, and this is a verse of the 18 Jews. And Allah says, مُسْتَكْبِرِينَ بِهِ. They were arrogant and haughty and proud about it. So in basic grammatic Arabic context, the bihi needs a marja, It needs to refer to something. But the scholars of tafsir tell us from the siyaq and the sabaq, the association and the affiliation that the Arabs had with the Kaaba was such that it could be referenced and understood and implied without a categoric mention. So I don't want to go into too much academic language. Suffice to say here, Bihi is referring to the sanctuary of the Kaaba. The first evil of the pagan Arab that the Quran highlights, three spiritual maladies. So my preamble was just to outline that we need to start taking care of our spiritual body, and that's our soul. We make so much focus on the external and we go through extra miles, a little scar, pigmentation, one dermatologist to another dermatologist. I keep on saying to my kids, and I say in my talks, back in the days, people were born with straight teeth, not born with teeth, but what I mean, the teeth, when they developed it, was straight, and their speech was straight. Now you go to the orthodontist, it will cost you an arm and a leg to get those dentures and teeth straight, and the speech still remains crooked. Right? So you'll spend an arm and a leg, if not few legs, to get that teeth straight for your son. And that same boy will throw back at you something like, "Dad, you did nothing for me." And like, you know what? It's with my teeth, if you know what I mean. Where's it? And before the speech was straight, the teeth were straight. Now neither of the two is in order. So we need to focus on the soul. So I'm saying the first weakness of the Arab that the Quran speaks about was arrogance over the service they offered to the deen. And that was their association with the Kaaba. They were proud about this. They were haughty. They were arrogant. Now, something that Allah dislikes and despises and is deplorable and detestable and despicable to the Almighty is that when we become arrogant on any act of worship. And I promise you, the arrogance on piety is worse than the arrogance on affluence. While both is repugnant and disliked by the Almighty, but arrogance over piety is worse. Mutarrif ibn Abdullah used to say, لَأَنْ أَبِيتَ نَائِمًا وَأُصْبِحَ نَادِمًا أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَبِيتَ قَائِمًا وَأُصْبِحَ مُعْجِبًا. If I spend the entire night sleeping and I don't engage in vigil and nocturnal prayer, in tahajjud prayer, and I get up in the morning lamenting the fact that my night passed without prayer, and we're not talking of the obligatory prayer, we're talking of the optional, the nocturnal, the tahajjud prayer, which is meritorious and has great virtue. But if perchance my night went and I slept away and I didn't engage and I get up in the morning regretting, that's more beloved to me than spending the whole night in worship and getting up in the morning arrogant and proud that I'm better than others. You know Imam Ghazali's words? Oh, it just gives me a shiver in my back. He said, and to move you swiftly through the discussion, he said, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ صَغِيرًا, when you see a small child, then you must say to yourself, هَذَا لَمْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَأَنَا عَصَيْتُهُ فَلَا شَكَّ أَنَّهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنِّي. This is a minor, this is a junior, this child has not disobeyed Allah, so this child is better than me because I have sins and this child has no sins. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ كَبِيرًا, and when you see a senior, you say to yourself, هَذَا عَبَدَ اللَّهَ قَبْلِي فَلَا شَكَّ أَنَّهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنِّي. This person is worshipping Allah before I was born. So how dare I assume I am superior and I have excelled him or her? وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ جَاهِلًا, and when you see an ignorant person, a foolish person who's committing sins, you say to yourself, هَذَا عَصَى اللَّهَ بِجَهْلٍ وَأَنَا عَصَيْتُ اللَّهَ بِعِلْمٍ فَحُجَّةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيَّ أَكْبَرٌ. This person has disobeyed Allah out of ignorance, and I have disobeyed Allah despite my knowledge, so he's better than me. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ وَجَعَلَ عَلَىٰ بَصَرِهِ غِشَاوَةٍ. Have you not seen the person whom Allah misled despite his knowledge? Allah gives two examples in the Quran of those who have knowledge and yet they do not execute their knowledge. They do not walk the talk. In one place Allah equates them to a dog, in one place Allah equates them to a mule. فَمَثَلُهُ كَمَثَلِ الْكَلْبِ إن تحمل عليه يلهث أو تتركه يلهث مثل الذين حم I'm just passing on, my time is doesn't allow. وإذا رأيت عالما and when you see a learned scholar you say هذا علم ما لم أعلم وبلغ ما لم أبلغ فكيف أكون مثله. This man has committed the Quran to heart. He's committed the hadith. One of my scholars used to say, some of our young kids, we would say they're so heedless, oblivious, negligent, careless, that, oh, I wouldn't even give him the car keys. I wouldn't even trust him with the house. I wouldn't leave my phone with him. He is so clumsy. He is so oblivious. But hang on, that very negligent, careless child, Allah has trusted him with the whole Quran, and Allah has entrusted you with one juz of the Quran. And then you can decide who's clumsy and who's negligent. So Allah gave him the Quran and included him in the fraternity. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ And we are those that will protect him. And Allah included him in this rich galaxy who are part of the plan of Allah for the preservation of the final revelation. And you and I are grappling to memorize one chapter. And that puts the spotlight on redefining intelligence versus negligence. So when you see someone who has memorized the Quran or learned it, then you say, how can I even dare equate myself to this person? He has so much knowledge. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ كَافِرًا And when you see a disbeliever, you say that it is highly possible that Allah will guide him or her prior to his or her demise. وَأَمَّا أَنَا فَعَسَىٰ أَن يُضِلَّنِي اللَّهِ فَيَكُونُ غَدًا هُوَ مِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ وَأَكُونُ أَنَا مِنَ الْمُبْعَدِينَ It's possible, and this happens. We've seen it with our own eyes, that Allah can change the life of a person prior to his death, and he will be closer to Allah. And Allah can cause my heart to deviate before my death, and then I will be distant from Allah. I was in the Caribbean on a lecture tour. Just when I wrapped up, a brother came and he said, Sheikh, I need you to meet a particular brother. I'm like, okay, let me juggle my commitments and see how we can, you know what, make this happen. The next day I had other engagements, I couldn't. He came back, he's like, please, Sheikh, you got to meet this brother. I'm like, okay, what's so pressing about it? He breaks down, he's emotional, he tears. I said, brother, are you fine? He's like, I'm a revert to Islam. The man who brought me into the fold of Islam has left Islam. Wow, my word, that gives me a shiver in my back. What did Imam Ghazali say? That even if you see a disbeliever, don't feel great about yourself. You don't know. We have no guarantee how life will pan out and how things will change. So can you imagine, and just to move on from this here, one of the great scholars said, oh, this is so amazing. I'm just going to give you the translation because time is short. He said, it's mandatory to aspire to become pious. Like I always say in my lectures, aspire to inspire before you expire. Aspire to inspire before you expire. So it's mandatory, it's obligatory, it's compulsory to try to become pious, but it's forbidden to consider yourself pious. So I got to get on and I got to push myself. I got to do something. I got to exert myself. That's the way I got to go. But to claim it, that's forbidden. We move on to the next thing. Mustakbirin, that was the first spiritual malady. May Allah protect us. The second one, Samiran. Now, if you linguistically dissect this word, Samir in Arabic refers to moonlit night. It was a favorite time for the Arabs to chit-chat and sit and talk and pass time. When it was a bright moonlit night, they would sit outside and they would just gossip away and speak away. Allah said, this was the second evil that was found amongst them. And trust me, this has paralyzed our youth. The night is young and the day has no direction. They'll spend the night hours upon hours, chit-chatting, talking, killing time, and time is just going by. Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i said, صحبت الصوفية فلم أنتفع منهم إلا بكلمتين I can narrow my life's experiences into two words الوقت سيف قطعته أو قطعك Time is a sword Either you cut through it or it cuts through you And then it's your nafs شغلتها بالحق أو شغلتك بالباطل Either you dictate to yourself and say I'm going to read Quran or your ego will dictate to you and say you're going to peruse porn and unsavory material. The analogy of the ego, the scholars say, is like a person on the back of a horse. So when you get on the back of a horse, the animal examines the confidence levels of the rider. You'll find that the horse will move around, it will jostle, it will turn. If you show firmness and you show authority and you hold the reins firmly, then you ride the horse, you gallop the horse, you trot the horse, and it's an amazing animal. Al-khaylu ma'qudun bi nawasiha al-khayr. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah has attached goodness to the forelock of a horse. But if you show weakness and you succumb and you buckle under the pressure of that animal, then you're a dummy on the back of that animal. The horse rides you, you're a dummy. There are millions of people that today their ego is riding them. They are a dummy on the back of this ego. And what can you say about the ego? وَلَوِتَّبَعَ الْحَقُّ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ لَفَسَدَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنْ. Allah says, the recipe for destruction is when you subject the truth to base desires. So the second thing briefly is, look at the words of the Prophet ﷺ. لا سمرة بعد العشاء. Don't get into chit-chatting. Don't get into social discussions. Because when you sleep late, you are inevitably going to compromise standing up early. And study the greats of the entire world, religious or otherwise, they would rise early. What do they say in English? The early morning breeze has a secret to share with you. Be sure you're up to listen to it. The early morning breeze. I'm ending shortly. I know it's the time of Maghrib. I'm wrapping up. I was for a program locally, so I took a flight to the Kruger National Park. Many people know about it. It gets tourists from around the world, and you get on YouTube Kruger sightings if you're into wildlife and safari, etc. So I was there for a program recently. I took a domestic hop. I had a lecture, and I was flying back. As I was flying, and my mind kind of alerts to all these things, and I, you know, bring it into my talks. So just before boarding this domestic airport, I see a sign there, because it's at the National Safari Park. It's a nice sign that reads there, and it got me thinking, every morning a gazelle gets up in Africa and it knows it has to run faster than the fastest lion or else it will be killed. Every morning a lion gets up in Africa and it knows it has to outrun the slowest gazelle or else it will starve to death. It doesn't matter whether you're a lion or a gazelle, when the sun rises, you better be running. When the sun rises, you better be running. Samiran, the most dangerous thing in life is to do nothing. And it gets more dangerous when you have plenty of time to do nothing. And that's where we are today. So the second evil of the pagan Arab, which was a spiritual malady, was the nights which has been dragged on. They would talk, they would gossip, they would chit-chat, and they would just drag. And the Prophet ﷺ just put an end to it. La samurata ba'da al-isha. No chit-chatting, no social discussions, no engagements after Isha. Retire to bed early, rise early, be productive in society. And the last thing, and time is against us, tahjurun. One is hajara yahjuru. That means to migrate and to relocate. While hujr, what the dhamma on the ha, refers to blurred things that are nonsensical, incoherent, obscured. So when you sit and you chit-chat, then inevitably, what are you going to talk? It's not going to be structured. It's not going to be calculated. You're going to be talking obscene, vulgar, immoral. These are the kind of talks that you are going to utter. And you speak to the average, and you just happen to overhear the kind of vulgarity that today is being spoken about. I was in London for a program, and then this youngster was in the car, and he was taking me. So he had his GPS on, and he had it in youth mode. So I'm like, brother, no, relax, Sheikh. So this is like a provocative language. It's a daring. I dare you, take a right now. And then I'm omitting, but it's vulgar all along. And I'm like, has the world stooped so low that devices have now the option of you have a male speaking, a female speaking. You know, on a lighter side, myself and my wife were driving, and there was another brother as well, and the sat nav, the GPS was on, and then the brother made a mistake. So the voice on the sat nav on the GPS says, make a U-turn when possible, make a U-turn when possible. So the brother says, there's one thing I love about this woman. So I just clinch like this because his wife in the back and my wife in the back, bold. I love about this woman. So I said, okay, what's it? He said, when you make a mistake, she reroutes you politely. Wow, but that was a profound message. Imagine if each one of us can help one another. Listen, my brother, listen, my sister, you've made a mistake in life. Let's just reroute. Imagine if that's the way we work together. We reroute one another. Listen, you've gone, take a U-turn when possible. Take a U-turn. فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ Your hearts would burst if you comprehend what Allah says. Where are you going without me? Where are you going without me? فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ Qatada says, عَنِ الْقُرْآنِ Abandoning the Qur'an, and where are you going? So this youngster's got this provocative language in it, and he's just throwing out obscene language. That's the third malady. Let us learn to speak language that is correct. قُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا Use words that are appropriate. The Prophet ﷺ's speech was polite. لَمْ يَكُنْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَاحِشًا وَلَا مُتَفَحِّشًا The Prophet ﷺ never heard obscene language, never used obscene language. In the seven juz, on the last page, Allah is addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. اتَّبِعْ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ Allah says, follow the divine guidance and ignore these people. And Allah is addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in what we refer to as a singular form. And then Allah says, وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ كَذَلِكَ زَيَّنَّا لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ عَمَلَهُمْ Look at the pragmatic nature of our faith. And do not slander or use foul language or be abusive to those who worship deities other than Allah. Because then they will be abusive to Allah. And then it will just be a chain reaction. So don't use vulgar, don't use foul language, don't slander. The scholars of tafsir analyze something amazing. They say Allah is referring to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and saying, you don't do, you don't do. And then when it comes to wala tasubbu, Allah switches from singular to plural. And what's the reason that Allah changes the format? And they say, because the prohibition of using vulgar language applies to everyone but the Prophet of Allah. He never ever used vulgar in any form, shape or size. He was never vulgar in his entire life. So three spiritual maladies, let's focus on that here. The first thing is may Allah free us from arrogance, because we don't know what's accepted. See, there's two things here. The scholars say it's fine to say, I have done more than you. That's not pride. One person went for 10 hajj, one went for 1 hajj. You say, brother, have you been for 10 hajj? No, brother, not really. I mean, there's 10 stamps in your passport. You went for 10. Be honest and candid. That's fine. It's correct to say. You've memorized 10 Jews, he's memorized 3 Jews. So sister, you've memorized more. No, well, I don't know. No, of course you've memorized more. That's fine. That's not arrogance. It's fine to say I have done more. But then to claim because I've done more, I am superior, that's problematic. Because maybe Allah has accepted his 3 Jews and rejected your 10. Maybe Allah has accepted his endeavor for Hajj without performing Hajj and rejected your 10 Hajj. So how can I be proud when we don't know the outcome? You cannot rejoice till the results are not released. And the results will be released in Akhirah. And the second thing is, let us retire to bed early and rise early. That's the life of a believer. And the third thing, let us take care of our tongues. Watch the language at home. Guard your lips when a child is near, for children repeat the things they hear. Let no ugly tone be heard, no careless talk, no angry word, for it is a gracious sin to mar the innocent. Language, vulgar or unkind, leaves its mark upon the mind. So let your speech be wise and mild in the presence of a child. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.